Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Publicly, there's still a ton of question marks about this team because there's two big things that have happened here. You know, we have changed our defense extensively, moved players to different positions, and we don't have a quarterback that's played a down for Nebraska. So, you know, that those would raise big question marks for anybody that follows football in general.
Great to have you in a Tuesday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. You heard Mike Riley there. The Huskers taking Chi-Town today. Plenty to get into from the Windy City, and we'll get caught up with so many folks today. Mitch Sherman of ESPN coming up in 15 minutes. And our friends out in Cardi Hastings, Grand Island, ESPN Superstation, 1460, 1550. Mr. Doug Duda, Doug and Daddy, on site in Chicago, will share their conversations with a couple of Huskers today, Aaron Williams and Chris Weber. You'll hear them. Also, Mr. Row the Boat Guy, P.J. Fleck.
That's right.
Not T.J.
Nope.
But P.J. Fleck, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, also live from Chi-Town in 1 hour. It is Nebraska Day. Let's get into it. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity. At Schmidt underscore radio or at TJ underscore Henning. The email, Chris at HailVarsity.com. So what did you want to know today from Riley, from Tanner Lee, from Chris Weber, from Aaron Williams? And let's just start with Coach Riley, a couple of different media sessions. Of course, he did the main podium this morning at 9, and we'll get into to Chris Jones and Josh Kalu. Coach Riley opened up a bit about Blades and Watts. Riley touched on Friday night football. What's he think of it? What's the punishment going to be for Stanley Morgan Jr., Antonio Reed? How's the O-line? Is Nebraska dealing, and how can you, how is Nebraska dealing with the loss of Bob Elliott? I mean, so many questions, and we have some answers for you. And going into today, that's immediately what was on my mind. You know, he's going to be asked about Friday night football. What do you do about Chris Jones? What's the word on Stanley and Antonio? And listen, there are some thoughts here. And the feel right now, a couple of things. The feel right now is Kalu is fine. He has worked well. He could be a rock star at safety for Nebraska. Why screw that up? Why prevent the speed you need at secondary? You've already taken a couple of shots in the secondary by losing Doman, likely a guy that could have played next to Aaron Williams if he doesn't get the ACL, and you've lost Chris Jones. So the feel right now, and they'll discuss it per Coach Riley, is that it's time for Eric Lee and Lamar Jackson to do their thing at corner. That could change in 2 weeks. There was no ultimatum, no final decision. It'll be discussed. What about Chris Jones in redshirting? Riley has not discussed that with Jones. Going to let him heal a bit more, and then maybe you talk about it. So let's get into that. But here we'll start off, Coach Riley, and the post-Jones injury and how Nebraska's coping with it.
What cut?
18.
I'm not sure what's going to happen finally. Well, there's still some discussion in front of us about that, you know, and obviously before we do anything, we'll have that discussion with our staff. We'll make an approach with the players. We'll figure it out from there. But, you know, I think within our group we're going to have that that has looked like a good group to me, the secondary. And we've taken two big hits. JoJo Doman earlier in spring and now Chris in the summertime. And that's no fun to deal with. But we've got some talking yet to do on how it's going to look when we start the first day of practice.
So right now Nebraska's in wait-and-see mode. A lot of the nation, from a buzz standpoint, in wait-and-see mode on Nebraska. You heard the opening comments from Riley. You got a new quarterback and you got a new defensive look. That's fair. There are questions to be had. But from a feel and a trend and just from a radar, Nebraska is under the radar. That's okay. You can play well without pressure squarely on you. There's two ways to go about kind of taking that next step as a program. One is you fly under the radar, you surprise teams, and then you gain and earn their respect. Phase two is what Penn State is dealing with this year as kind of a co-favorite or clearly a number two behind Ohio State. How do you do that with expectations? Each program has their own expectations. Coaching staff, players have their own sets of goals that are bigger and grander, or at least the same as the fan base. You want to win it, and you want to win all of them. But there's just two different mindsets about going and doing it. A, as the favorite. B, as kind of an under-the-radar dark horse. More from Coach Riley. And how's this team mentally and physically? Cut 19 post-Tennessee. That's not been really addressed. You've had spring ball. You've talked about Tanner Lee. You have offensive line questions. You have a lot of question marks in the secondary due to injury, right? But really, how's this team? How have they progressed? How have they kind of moved it forward?
You know, I think that there's been a growing feel, and that's probably all it is by me, a feel of confidence, excitement. I think that I don't know about individual leaders, but as a group, I think they feel close and good to one another. I think probably as good a off-season program in general as we've had. I think that I know that publicly there's still a ton of question marks about this team because there's two big things that have happened here. You know, we have changed our defense extensively, moved players to different positions, and we don't have a quarterback that's played a down for Nebraska. So, you know, that those would raise big question marks for anybody that follows football in general. But with that being said, I'm still very encouraged about this team for some of those things that maybe you can't put a finger on that I would call intangible that I really like about this team, and I'm excited to get going with them.
Intangibles can do a lot of makeup work for you as a team, as a program, as a mindset, and as depth. And that is something to be excited about. The offseason workout's been different. It's been harder. It's been more strenuous. That's been accepted and adopted. And he likes the chemistry. He likes the leadership on this team. I know I have already started. The guys get along and the chemistry is awesome. I've already started that, and it's not August yet. I apologize.
That's a huge component.
It is. But you build the chemistry between when classes end in May. You start developing the camaraderie in spring, carry it over to the summer. You bond and gel during the summer, and then you ramp on into camp and get ready for 2017. Coach Riley here, the O-line, that offensive line unit. Think about what you have. You're no longer inexperienced. You are at one spot, and it's with a guy who started the number of games for you last year. If Conrad continues to have that spot, he should. He looks good. But there's still camp to decide what you go into battle with on Saturday. So you have Gates, who's started 2 years. You have Foster, who's back. You've got Conrad at center, or Decker. Farmer started all of last year. Then there's Neville, who had most of a season as starter, and when he wasn't playing, it was Conrad. So you have the experience. Now it's time to kind of make it happen on the field.
I really like the group of guys, and I think that there's in general, it's a veteran group that should be, a number of guys in there. When you look at the group in general, but Gerald Foster and Tanner Farmer and David Neville and Nick Gates, when you look at that group all across the board, you see some guys that have played a lot of football, been in a lot of games, and that's encouraging, and I think they're talented, and I think that what has to happen now more than any more talk about it is they've got to go out and play and perform and both run block and pass protect for our quarterbacks, and I think that's going to be a big, big factor in our success.
Oh, yes. Let us talk run game in a moment. But first, we got to get special teams some love. How special can the special teams be?
You know, I feel good about it. I'll tell you what I like is that, in making a transition with the coaching of the special teams, there's many layers to this answer because it kind of falls off of the tree of Coach Elliott passing away and Scott Booker being involved with as a special teams consultant now being added full time to our staff. I think Scott's going to do terrifically as our special teams coach. I think he's going to do a great job with that. And I also think he's going to add to our staff as our safeties coach. So that has, in a horrible situation to be involved in, it's become a bonus for us. And frankly, I kind of lucked into it, having Scott Booker there on hand. And it was almost like on the job training for a few months before he actually took over the coaching part of it with our team. So I feel really good about that, and I'm excited about going forward with our special teams. I think we have a solid kicker in Drew Brown. I really like Drew. I like his approach to the game. Jordan Ober's been our snapper for 2 years and been outstanding. And, I've got a lot of faith in where our punter is going. You know, he had a up-and-down year a year ago, but we see a guy that has talent and has to reach that elusive thing called consistency, which, like a golfer, is the trademark of a specialist. And so we're looking for the consistency in our punting game. We are also trying to find a good way to get DeMornay Personnel going on punt returns. Should be a great weapon. The punt return game in college football has changed dramatically in just, you could say, the last decade, but probably the last 4 or 5 years in particular, with the advent of shield punt, of rugby punting, a lot of bouncing balls. The return game is not what it once was, but we still are trying to find a way to get DeMornay the ball and get him some room, because I think he can make a difference in that part of the special teams game.
He was so awesome as a freshman. You saw him against Oregon last year. And Riley's right, it's different now than it was 5 years ago, rugby-wise, and just kicks away from a return guy and being able to field those hops. DeMornay can add so much to starting field position or be instant offense. The run game is massively important. You know that. Riley comments on it here.
We have three guys that have all shown some very good things, and they are a year older. And if they have used that year correctly, which I think these are good people that are working hard, then we have a chance for all of them to be better. And if they are indeed all better, then we're getting closer to what we need at that position and what we can expect to get.
Okay, so that's a word on Ziggy Wilbon and Mr. Trey Bryant. The run game in general, though, you'll have to wait to hear, because we are up against the shot clock. But it's good stuff. Mike Riley, the latest from Coach Riley from Chicago. We will head to Chicago. Greg Smith of Hale Varsity, less than an hour away. The conversation with Doug Duda and Aaron Williams in 15 minutes. PJ Fleck next hour. Chris Weber next hour. A quick thought on comments Coach Riley made about Watts and Blades, two of your more high-profile defensive targets that did not qualify academically. He said they would not have ever qualified at Nebraska, and he did not place them. He doesn't do that. It's not up to him. From a decision standpoint, he wants the kids to make that, and that's where they stand. So it wasn't a good deal for Nebraska. HaleVarsity.com has more on that with Watts, with Blades, if you're still wondering. And also a thought shortly on Stanley Morgan Jr., Antonio Reed. No decision has been made yet on punishment. That is partially due to the university. The university is looking at this along with, obviously, Riley and the administration's input. So, you're caught up. More to come as we'll head to Chicago. It's like we're there without the traffic or the food, sadly. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, it's Hale Varsity Radio Magazine and .com, ESPN Insider, Mr. Mitch Sherman to talk some college football and Huskers next on Hale Varsity Radio. And we welcome in Mitch Sherman. He's smiling about his Royals. He's been to L.A. He's been to a few media days himself. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. Yeah, it has been a while. You were gone, and got to talk to TJ last week from Dallas, so that was fun, and I was gone before that. So how you been?
I'm good. I am good. You've probably been to Minneapolis for a Twins-Royals soiree, so that was where I took Junior. You were in L.A., and that was pretty cool, it looked like. It didn't work out for your Royals, but I'm sure it was a good experience. What's your schedule like, man? What are you doing the next few days? Are you off to Pac-12? Are you covering the Big Ten? What have you been up to?
I gathered a lot of stuff from my trip to Dallas, and I'm working on some of that and trying to sneak in a few final gasps at summer. These camps are opening up next week, which is crazy. Some of the changes that were instituted this April that limited two-a-days and that's going to be even more limited in years to come have elongated the fall practice, the fall training camp time of year. So I was a little bit taken aback to see July 27th, 28th, 29th on the opening dates for some of the teams across the country. I know Rice got started, I believe it was yesterday, with practice because they're playing in that Australian game that kicks off the season for some reason. And there will be multiple teams getting into action by this weekend. So I'm going to track that, and I got a lot of good stories from Dallas that will be coming up, sprinkling across the ESPN platforms in weeks to come.
Can't wait for that. Mitch, as we get closer to Nebraska, and they'll start things on Sunday, and I think a lot of programs, be it Northwestern or Ohio State or Michigan, I mean, Harbaugh took the stand today, and they've all accepted the lack of two-a-days. They've accepted a 2.0 version of football, at least publicly, where there's less contact and it's more about teaching and hit when you have to hit, and that's on Saturday afternoon. So they seem okay with that, but many of them are not okay with just what you touched on, the calendar starting so soon, between 5 and 6 weeks a training camp before the season starts. It's hard enough to not beat the crap out of each other for 3 weeks back in the day when you had two-a-days, and even if there's minimal contact. You know, I'm just wondering if adjustments will eventually be made to shorten this camp, even though you won't have two-a-days. Do you think that's around the corner?
Well, I think the whole point of the exercise is player safety.
Yes.
So, just because you're practicing for a longer period of time on the calendar, I don't think that heightens the risk of injury in comparison to going at it on the field for 4 or 5 hours a day in the August heat. The point of this is less injuries, less player exhaustion, and to have these guys more prepared to play the way that they're supposed to play, and you know, come the first week of September, come Labor Day. I don't think coaches would be in favor of eliminating practices from the preseason schedule. Now, if they want to get together at their convention next January or in a January in some future year and say, look, we don't want to be on the field in late July. We think August 1st is a good date for the start of camp. We understand the need to limit two-a-days. And you can still do some two-a-day stuff. You just can't go out there and have two practices where full pads are being worn. So I don't think it's a dramatic change that's happened. There's been a trend away from two-a-days, and even before this rule was laid down. So, and I don't think you'll find that coaches will want to take practices away from the preseason. You get somewhere around 30 right now. I should know the exact number, but it's July 25th, and my mind is still not quite in the right place to know that. So, but you know, every year there's an exact number, whether it's 32 or 33 practices, something to that effect, before you play your first game. And I don't think you'll find many coaches out there that want to say take that down to 25, because then you're going to have teams that not only are just more rusty come that first game, but you could also potentially raise the risk of injuries during the season because players don't know their assignments, and you know, you start to make mistakes when you and those mistakes can lead to injuries when you don't know what you're supposed to do on the field, and things are going full speed and everyone's pounding each other on Saturday afternoons and Saturday nights in September. So there's a balance there. There's a happy medium that maybe has not been reached yet. And I'm sure tweaks will be made in future years, but I don't think it's some dramatic difference this year or a terrible thing that some of these practices are starting 3, 4, 5 days earlier than we're used to.
Mike Riley kind of touched on how he thinks his team is trending, and he's very aware that nationally there's more questions than answers on Nebraska. But a reason he's pretty optimistic is because of the defense and what they can do despite the scheme shift. That said, you lost Chris Jones. Can Nebraska either hang on long enough with some really talented guys on paper and not by any means replace Jones's leadership or skill, but get closer to the skill area and find a way to survive and win some games without him? Do you think that's doable, or do you think this is too devastating a loss, assuming they keep Kalu back at safety?
Well, I think Nebraska can overcome this. I mean, just about any one player loss before the season can be overcome. Now, I mean, there are instances with teams, and there have been situations at Nebraska in some past years where it takes a Herculean effort mm-hmm. to overcome the loss of one player. And if Nebraska lost Tanner Lee tomorrow, you know, it would be a disaster. I wouldn't put Chris Jones necessarily in that category. Now, from an NFL prospect point of view, from the leadership on the defense standpoint, from his value to Nebraska as a cornerback, he checks all the boxes. But they are talented at that position with some young guys, have the ability to fill that spot and still be, still do it with high caliber players. So it's a loss, but in some ways, I do think you'd rather have it happen before camp opens than 2 weeks into camp. Now there's going to be a replacement or several candidates to replace him who can go into August or have even had a couple weeks in July to get their minds right and understand that this team is going to count on them. So, yeah, sure, Nebraska can overcome it. Nebraska can play great defense in spite of that loss. It's a setback. But I question whether Nebraska should feel great with or without Chris Jones. I question whether Nebraska should feel great and confident about this team because of the defense. To me, that's where the biggest questions are. There's questions on offense too, but there's huge questions on defense because of the scheme change. And it's a situation where I'll believe it when I see it in mm-hmm. September and October. I think they have the guys to do it. I think Bob Diaco has the the capacity for sure, and the history and the track record to be able to coach this team to become a good defense, but I'm skeptical about how fast it's going to happen.
Mitch, I want to switch gears to the Big Ten Media Days, and I know you're not there, but Chris and I were talking yesterday since those beginning of the Big Ten Media Days. Is the Big Ten the deepest, strongest conference out of the Power Five right now? Would that be your best conference for college football in 2017 season? Would you still go to the Big Ten, or would you still maybe say the SEC is still the king?
Well, I heard Bob Bowlesby last week take the podium in Dallas and say that the Big 12 was the best conference top to bottom.
Oh, Bob.
Depends where you're at, yes.
Yeah, that's the media day refrain from every league commissioner. I'm sure you'll get that from Larry Scott out in the Pac-12 at the end of this week, too. Hey, I mean, a case can be made for the Big Ten, a case can be made for the SEC, and probably the ACC, too. You're always going to have a couple of teams at the bottom that make you question the overall balance mm-hmm. of the league, and that's no different in the Big Ten than it is in the SEC. So, you know, maybe you get into September and you start to see how Purdue plays and how Vanderbilt plays, or you know how what happens with Ole Miss this year. You guys haven't even asked me about Ole Miss. I was all
geared
up
getting there,
but it's not the right time of year to know the answer to the question about what the deepest league is. I think we have a good understanding of who the best teams are in the country. I mean, in the SEC, you've got Alabama, and in the Big Ten, you've got Ohio State. They're both favorites to make the playoff again this year. And, you know, you can argue all day about which one of those teams is better based on the great recruits they've signed over the past 3-4 years. It's harder to have a discussion about the total depth of the league because we don't know as much about those teams in the bottom and maybe the bottom four spots. And really, that's what determines the overall strength of the league if you want to rank them in terms of, you know, 1 through 14. So the answer to that question is some ways down the road.
Mitch, I have about 2 minutes, about 90 seconds now. Actually, you freeze, Ole Miss. Where does each party go from here?
Well, if this is not the most bizarre, crazy story of 2017, and we're only in July, then I can't wait to see what's going to happen somewhere else this calendar year. The whole thing is just wild, and the story that came out yesterday by Mark Schlabaugh on ESPN.com, if you haven't read that, and you haven't heard about how this Mississippi State recruiting writer / crazy fan is the one who discovered the phone call to the escort service and alerted the lawyer to the former coach, Houston Nutt, who told the athletic department about Hugh Freeze's calls, and they found this pattern. I mean, I want to know more about the pattern, if there were other people involved. It's like straight out of a book that you can't believe it's total fiction. So where do they go? I mean, it's a lost season for Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. With no offense to Matt Luke, I don't think that Ole Miss is, you know, they're already playing in arguably the best division in college football in the SEC West, and you know, this has been a house of cards for a couple of, you know, several months now, really since the Laramie Tunsil draft night incident, and the whole thing came crashing down last week. So not good timing for this to happen less than a month before the season, or less than a month before the start of practice. I think Ole Miss is in for a lot of problems. How do they recruit right now? You can't have consecutive years, or really 1 year, of bad recruiting and expect to contend in the SEC West. So problems ahead, storms ahead for Ole Miss, and that's not to mention the results of the NCAA investigation. So I think you can just kind of pencil them in as being back to what we saw from Ole Miss for a long time up until the last 3-4 years.
Mitch, thanks so much for your time, bud.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, as Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com going to join us in Chicago in 25 minutes. Our affiliates out in central Nebraska, ESPN 1460, 1550, ESPN Superstation, Mr. Doug Duda. Got up with Aaron Williams and the Husker safety. Talked about this season and what to expect. Aaron Williams, Doug Duda, right now.
Day 2 at Media Days here in Chicago means Nebraska football. And, of course, We had a long day yesterday talking to some other folks, but the Huskers are on the minds of everybody here throughout the state. Aaron Williams, Nebraska safety, joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Larry Baker. Aaron, welcome to Media Days. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Well, I'll just tell you what. The Huskers, guys always dress up differently. Sometimes they'll come in the polo shirts as a team. Sometimes they'll put the suit and tie on. Sometimes it's a tweener. But he's looking good. They're all looking good today.
Yeah, very, very sharp. The whole group just came walking out, Doug, and you could see them a mile away. They look good. And when you dress good, you feel good, you'll play good, right?
Hey, we're playing good this year.
Well, practice gets going right around the corner, as we joke with some of the guys. It really never stops. What's summer conditioning, what's football been like since the end of the spring game?
Some conditioning has been very intense this summer. I feel like everybody made strides. Starting from spring ball to now, I think we grew as a team, grew as individuals, and now we just ready to carry it into fall camp and keep growing, get ready for the season.
Obviously, some big news, and one of the reasons you're here was the injury to Chris and you're pinch hitting for him. What can you tell us about what happened to him and what will increase your role maybe going forward with him out?
Chris, that's sad news. I know he's down right now, but his spirits are always high. He planning to come back this season. He going to come back, in my opinion, and probably he'll tell you the same thing. I think he's going to come back better than he was last season. Like I tell him, God makes no mistake. Everything's happening for a reason. But since the down of Chris, I feel like everybody as a defense, especially the secondary, we just have to elevate our play. We got to make up for Chris' loss for the time he's out.
So how does it look now in the sense of just the makeup? Were you taking on – we know in football, like, it doesn't matter where you're at in the depth chart, you got to be ready to roll because you are a team, right? But when you take that cornerstone piece, how does the makeup of that look? Like, what did he give you outside of once the snap happened, we know what he could do. What did he give you as a defense before the snap happened? How will the defense look now? And does it change the chemistry of it at all starting the season without him?
The change, I think the most thing that we lost is his knowledge of the game and his understanding. But it's also, he's a great leader. So I know we have a lot of young talent at corner right now that's going to be ready to step in and show out to make up for Chris' loss. So he's coaching them up, leading them. But like I said, I think just with him alone, we all just got to elevate our game to help the younger corners out or to help the coaches' comfort level so that we can rely on them and make the other corners that come in feel comfortable enough to play. The chemistry, I feel like, is always going to be there because we a tight team. So everybody cool with each other, be able to talk, joke around, get on each other if somebody messing up. So I feel like the chemistry going to be there. It just now people just got to step up. I just feel like I know me personally, I'm going to have to elevate my game more to make up for Chris, Joshua Kalu, Lamar, Kyra, Antonio. There's just a couple names. We just all got to push each other starting fall camp just to make up for it.
We're talking with Nebraska safety Aaron Williams here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Of course, Coach Riley last night on his radio show said that there wasn't going to be a significant shakeup. He wasn't going to move Kalu back over where he had been playing. Who are some of the young guys, Aaron, that you see that we don't get to see on a daily basis when you're going in practice and what you saw in spring that you think have made some pretty good improvements back there in the secondary?
For right now, I say Eric Lee, DiCaprio Boodle, you got Markel Desmuke, Tony Butler, those some young guys, Jeremiah Stovall. So, like, DiCaprio, Eric Lee, Jeremiah Stovall, they going to push for that starting corner spot while Chris out, and they all going to push each other, and they going to hold that spot down, especially we have a good coach in Dante Williams. He going to coach him up, coach skill sets up, knowledge. So, we going to be ready back there. I mean, it's a loss, but we going to make up for it.
Aaron, tell me, what is, you know, the big switch with Coach Diaco to the 3-4? Now, we do know on the back end of the defense, a cover two is a cover two, a three is a three, you know what I mean, one, mm-hmm. You know, any of that stuff is what it is. How different has it been for you guys, though, with that front seven, that changing from an odd front or from an even front to an odd front? Has it been much different for you guys?
I would say the difference is just knowing the movements and where people are going to end up at. So now everybody's not got responsibility. It's just you got to be able to adjust and play off each other because everybody, the front seven get to play fast. So we just have to clean up and adjust off them. So I think that's just the biggest difference, just knowing the movements and where likely they'll end up at.
So like what you're saying is understanding how post-snap where your run fit is.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Because it's not a designated run fit to start the playoff.
there's a lot of – we were talking about the different styles of offenses you guys will see, particularly this year. Some are going to want to spread you out like an Oregon. Some are going to want to be drop-back passers. Tell the fans from week to week, maybe just even going back to last year, how that changes when you guys are getting game plan, when you're taking a team that wants to spread you out versus a team that wants to kind of line up and maybe just run at you.
I think our coach did a great job adjusting us to it. Like you said, we played at Oregon, Ohio State. They like to spread the ball out. We'll have tempo periods in practice, and we just go against that. But if we playing like the Iowas and the Wisconsin, they like run heavy. We have a run heavy period that we work on a lot in practice. So I think the adjustments to do it, and like going in against our offense in practice, they give us a mixture of it throughout the year. So it's not brand new to us. It just helps us get focused and see it before we do it.
Aaron, moving from the field, tell us a little bit about the F Street Rec Center and the work you've done there. It says in your bio that you volunteered some time at the F Street Rec Center with Husker Heroes and the Lincoln Marathon.
Yeah, at our school, we always involved in the community because our fans play a big part in our success, in my opinion. So whenever you have a chance to get out and go in the community and interact, I think you should do it. I do it. I enjoy it just to be able to meet people, because I look at myself as an average person. I carry myself at a high standard in my head, but when I move around, I'm just like everybody else. So I like to interact to get to know people.
Well, we're getting to know a little bit here about Aaron Williams, and you know, when you look at his bio as well, one thing that's kind of unique is anytime you have a birthday on a special day, not only you ring in the new year, I mean,
no, that's actually wrong.
Well, that's wrong?
They need to change that.
That's wrong? I thought I had a good one here.
I've been told my birthday is actually the 31st.
Okay.
So I like that too, though, because I was actually born early. I was supposed to be born in February.
Well, I will tell you, Aaron, you're not alone with that in that bio piece. Lauren Kaiser, whom you know, is a roommate of mine, was a captain at UNL as well, played on national championship team. His media guide was wrong. It said he was an academic All-American. And He wasn't, so.
Yeah, I tell everybody I'm academic All-American. Yeah. I ain't going to correct that.
Well, Aaron, we'll let you get on to the next stop, man. We'll see you when we get back to Lincoln Show. Have a good season.
All right,
season.
No problem. Enjoy the rest of y'all day.
There he is, Doug Duda, catching up with Aaron Williams, Big Ten Media Days. And, yeah, I mean, the academic All-American thing, if it's on there, roll with it. And hopefully it's true, right? We'll hear more from Doug Duda and our friends, 1460-1550, their chat with Chris Weber. PJ Fleck next hour. Greg Smith in Chicago with Hail Varsity shortly. Your chance right now, a six-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com, recruiting, the message boards, the up-to-minute info updates, and, of course, breaking news. Caller 4, caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, caller 4, caller 5. Makes it happen now, a six-month online subscription, HailVarsity.com, 466-3776, 466-3776, or 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5 now. We'll wind down hour 1 shortly. Thanks to Aaron Williams and Doug Duda for making that happen. You want tacos? It's Tuesday. How about tacos from Wilderness Ridge? Yes, Taco Tuesdays at Wilderness. Here's what they're featuring tonight. Three specialty tacos, priced per taco, $3.50 Coronas. You know where I'm going tonight. Barbecue brisket, fried onion straws, and chipotle mayo. That's one choice of taco, or pico de gallo with a Nebraska hothouse tomato, cilantro, red onion, oregano, and poblano, plus fried catfish with habanero salsa. Yeah. You have three options, three amazing choices. Taco Tuesday, get to Wilderness Ridge, 1800 Wilderness Ridge Woods Place, and get a tea time after your taco. Huh? Why not? It'll cool down. It'll be nice. 434-5106, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Let's hear about that run game from Coach Riley. As the latest from Coach Riley, you heard about the running back situation about 20 minutes ago. Well, the run game, how it lends itself to the offense, the importance, the necessity of it for balance.
Our goal always has been to be a balanced football team, and it really is keyed and triggered by the running game. And, you know, Everything in the passing game is easier when you are running the football effectively. And I'm really proud of the history I've had with great running backs. I was blessed with that talent. And, You know, back to Kenny Simonton, who gained 5,000 yards, and Steven Jackson, who gained 4,000 yards in 3 years, and Quiz Rogers gained 4,000 yards in 3 years. Evanson Bernard gained 4,000 yards in 3 years as our tailback. So that's pretty good average of four backs in a row, and those guys were all parts of some very, very good football teams. And we were at our best when we had a good runner and we were productive running the football. And that's what we are shooting for here. We are not going to have the threat of a guy at quarterback that can run like Tommy, which we will miss at times. Tommy bailed us out. He made plays with his feet that were plays that might have been not so good, all of a sudden turned pretty good because of Tommy's unique ability. So we're going to have to be more efficient throwing the ball because we're not going to get that movement and that kind of bailout attitude by our quarterback as much. So that's going to have to happen through him being effective, Tanner in particular as our starter, being effective, hitting checkdowns, utilizing the backs. And we have to be smart in how we put the whole thing together because we're not going to live in a deal where we're going to just go drop back pass 40 times a game and think that that's going to be a good thing to do. You know, that is not going to be our approach. But if we run the ball effectively and then can protect our quarterback and utilize that idea that you can run action or play action pass, it'll really help everything go better.
Thank you. Underline it. We're not going to drop back 40 times and think it's a good deal. We're not going to live there, says Coach Riley. But, heaven forbid, you have a team like Ohio State that shuts your run game down. Just suppose that might be a reality. You do got a guy that can chuck it. And chuck it well. Greg Smith's got an arm on him. HailVarsity.com's Greg Smith. In Chicago. Next hour two on the way with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Hour 2 is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Mitch Sherman, Aaron Williams last hour. Shortly, Chris Weber, PJ Fleck. We welcome in. He's all over recruiting, all over media days with Hail Varsity. Greg Smith is with us. Mr. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, man. How are you guys?
Doing all right, and it's been busy. The Huskers have stormed Chicago, and HailVarsity.com, the place to be for all the news, notes, info, insight, opinion, and, yes, recruiting. Of course, Jacob Padilla there with you, Greg. Brandon Vogel checked in with us yesterday. Our new guy, Derek Peterson. Has there been the appropriate amount of hazing for Derek yet? I want to start there.
Not yet. We need to step our game up on that. I feel like we need to have some sort of evil plan here later in the day. Since there's no work tomorrow, I think we can work something out with that.
I like it. Well, what stuck out to you today? I mean, the only things covered today, you know, Chris Jones, Josh Kalu, Blades, and Watts, that you were all over that story. Friday Night Football, Stanley and Antonio. I mean, where do you want to start? What has been the biggest takeaway for you from Chicago today?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind when you mention that is actually it is the Friday Night Football. That's gotten, and I thought that would get a good amount of talk, you know, here in Chicago, and it's probably gotten more than I thought it was. And probably the most surprising thing that I heard from anybody on it was Mike Riley saying in his media scrum this morning that he would openly lobby against having any more Friday Night Light games for the Huskers. Like, that kind of is surprising considering the Huskers are the biggest team in the Big Ten to be doing Friday Night games this year, and they could have, in theory, just, you know, did what Penn State basically did and Ohio State and some of these other schools did in the beginning and just said, no, we're good, we're not going to do that. So it was pretty surprising to hear him say that.
But you found some people who liked it, right? I think some Illinois people are into the Friday Night Lights. Is that correct, Greg?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, and I feel like this is a good thing, but it ultimately ends up being a bad thing. Okay, like you have teams like Illinois, like you mentioned, those guys were all about it. Like Lovie Smith was fine with it. He dropped the word brand and said that he'd be able to, you know, let more people see Illinois football. Their offensive linemen, coincidentally, also dropped the word brand. I don't know how you feel about offensive linemen saying that they want people to see their brand and get accustomed to that. But they were all excited about it, saying, you know, we did this in high school, it'll kind of take us back to our high school days. But I think for teams like that, like, it's perfectly fine. I think that they do want to have that spotlight because, well, I think it was their wide receiver, Illinois wide receiver, that was here that mentioned, you know, some of our games aren't televised. So it's nice to be able to have that primetime game and have millions of people potentially watching us. But when it comes down to teams like Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska going forward, it seems like those schools are not going to want to participate. And if those schools aren't participating, how many people are really going to be watching?
Did anyone kind of respond and say, well, don't be bad if you're not? I mean, it's pretty hard to not be on TV now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty difficult. Like, and that kind of struck me when he said that, is that, you know, like, and it's weird because it's some of those things that, you know, as somebody that covers Nebraska and as someone who went to the university, I don't really think about, unless we're talking about those old pay-per-view days, non-con games. We know, you know, and even those technically are on TV. So I don't think about it from that perspective of the team not being on TV. So I was kind of floored by that too when he said that. But yeah, that is the way to avoid that. Be better. And avoid that whole situation.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at GregSmithHV on Twitter. Greg, let's move towards Chris Jones and Josh Kalu and Riley's thoughts on where they're at as they start camp. What's your read on the situation?
Yeah, it seems like as of right now, per Coach Riley, that Josh Kalu will be staying where he's been during spring ball, moving into fall ball, which is at safety, that they will not be moving him back right away. But Riley did also say that they have not had deep conversations with Kalu about that, but they have, that they, their sense right now is that they'll keep him at the safety position, which is where I think it was last week when I was outside of Lazari's talking to you guys. I said that I thought that they should go ahead and do that and leave him at the safety spot, and it was time for Eric Lee, DiCaprio Boodle, some of those guys to step up, which is essentially what Riley said today. But then as it relates to Chris Jones, the interesting piece of news there is that, you know, Mike Riley has not really talked to him much at all since the injury. He said that he really didn't want to approach him about the idea of redshirting and kind of saving a year while he was still fresh having the surgery. I believe he had the surgery a couple of Mondays ago, so it was too fresh. He didn't want to talk to him about it, that Mike Riley wasn't in town when it all went down. So he just hasn't really had the chance to speak with him face-to-face on that. My sense, though, on that is that Chris Jones will not want to redshirt, so I don't think you'll end up seeing him redshirt in that situation, because I think he's ready to go. In his mind, he's ready to go to the NFL.
All right, Greg, we're going to hear from him next. He's my guy. I'm all about it. Row the boat. PJ Fleck, have you grabbed an oar yet, being so up close to him?
Listening to him makes you want to grab an oar. Like, he actually, him and his wife just walked by me a little while ago, actually, and he makes you excited. Like, I think that every year it should be mandatory that day two, he goes first, like he did today, because it wakes everybody up, and everybody kind of gets excited. But yeah, he definitely has an infectious personality, but I can tell you this, he's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. Like, there's going to be situations where, and you've already kind of seen it, some of the recruiting stuff, I was taking shots at them throughout this offseason with, you know, offering more scholarships than they have. So he's definitely going to rub people the wrong way, but has, so did Jim Harbaugh when he got here. So that's okay. That can work for you if you're a Minnesota that needs to get more attention anyway.
Oh, for sure. And I completely understand that with Fleck. You either love him or you hate him. I just happy in the camp that loves him.
But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And that's great for the conference.
No, that's for sure. This is kind of off the wall one. Has there been a player or a coach, somebody that kind of just surprised you that was just well-spoken and just kind of caught you off guard with what they said, just a surprise they were treated to talk to?
Man, I would probably say DJ Durkin, the coach at Maryland. And part of this is another one of those, you don't think about this when you cover a team that has a whole lot of stuff, and I'll explain that. So basically, we were kind of just talking to him, and he was talking about how they have a new indoor practice facility and how awesome that was and how excited they were about that. And I just kept thinking, wait a second, A, you just now have an indoor practice facility. Nebraska's had that for years. B, he was talking about, he tells a funny story about how, you know, last season there was a big thunderstorm right before they were supposed to have a walk through, and they had to go and use the basketball court to be able to do their walkthrough. So it's just to see some of those differences, and usually coaches aren't always that eager to open up about those sorts of situations, but I think when he gets them resolved and he ends up getting a brand new facility built, he can brag on it a little bit, because, you know, it all comes back to recruiting too, because of course he mentioned how he can have prospective student athletes come through that thing. But yeah, he was really interesting to talk to.
That's where I wanted to go next. You brought up the word facilities, and I think you tweeted out, did like four or five coaches in a row mention their facilities? Is that right?
Yeah, this morning, the first, I believe, four coaches. I think every coach until Mike Riley mentioned facilities, and I went back and looked. Two of them did yesterday. So as of my count, unofficial count right now, six different coaches have mentioned facilities upgrades, have mentioned, you know, just brand new facilities. So that has been kind of an unexpected topic of discussion here. But also, I think that might go into a little bit of, you know, that Big Ten money coming in for some of these teams at a real nice clip. You're able to go out there and spend some of that money, which also then made me think, how soon is it going to be until we, or how long is it going to be until we hear Nebraska doing something with that? This feels like half the league is doing some sort of facilities upgrade right now.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, let's spend a minute or two here on the three Huskers there. Your impressions of Aaron Williams, Chris Weber, and then Tanner Lee. Also, the world's getting a chance to meet and see him, and we've had a chance to talk to him. I know you have too, but how do you think the Huskers have handled themselves today in front of the media? Because Nebraska's been under the radar to most of the national folks or the other team writers or coverage folks. Did Nebraska kind of make any statements today that stuck out?
I think all three of the guys that were here for representing Nebraska did a nice job of representing the school, did a nice job of introducing themselves to the rest of the conference and some, you know, national guys that are here as well. And I think that a couple of them that are going to have really nice seasons that you would not have necessarily heard from before. So Chris Weber, Aaron Williams, like just on a national scale and from even a conference perspective, you're not going to hear much from them because they haven't done as much on the field, though we all kind of think it's kind of an open secret amongst Husker media that we think those guys are going to do well, in addition to Tanner Lee. Tanner, of course, had the biggest kind of media scrum around him from the beginning because he's kind of one of those wild cards in the conference where everybody wants to talk to him. But I think that he did a real nice job of opening up, and I think a lot of talk with him about how, you know, his leadership and guys flocking to him. But I would actually say the guy I was most impressed with was Aaron Williams. Aaron started off a little slow. He's a little hesitant. Seamus McKnight had to kind of nudge him up there and have him sit down. The media relations guy for the Huskers had to nudge him up there and sit him down to get his questions started. But once he got rolling, you could see him get really comfortable. He's a funny guy, engaging. I don't know, Chris, if you had the chance to talk to him, but he's a pretty funny dude once you get him loosened up. So hopefully he has a big season and is able to continue to do more of this as he goes forward in the future.
You know, let's talk about Diaco and Aaron Williams' kind of reaction to Diaco. I know you were in front of Aaron Williams a little bit ago, and what was that like for Aaron Williams?
You know, he said that it was very intense, which was no surprise. He says that a lot of guys didn't quite know how to take Bob Diaco when he first got there, which is also not a surprise. But he says for him personally, it was not something that was a big, you know, shock for him because he's had a coach like that in the past, in high school, a coach that's really rah-rah, get after it, very intense, attention to detail. But he said the thing that he really appreciates about Coach Diaco is that Coach Diaco is making you do up-downs, he's making you hit the sled, but he'll jump in there and do do it with you. So I think that that instantly gains respect. And we've talked about that before, right? We've seen that in practice. It looks kind of crazy to us. But you did. I never really thought about, hey, from a player perspective, that's a quick way to gain their trust and respect. Is that, yeah, coach is going to get after me about doing these up downs or hitting the sled or whatever it is that I need to be doing. But he'll jump right in there and do it as well. And Aaron Williams, that really struck him and impressed him about Coach Diaco.
Hey, did it appear to you that Jim Harbaugh was a bit more tame this time around? I just felt like his Twitter presence.
I thought he was weirder, that, at least like, in front of everybody.
Like, not his Twitter presence, but I felt like the Twitter presence about him was less this year. Did you feel the same, or is he still outlandishly crazy to you?
He's still a weirdo. Like, it's still like, you know, you come in here and all the coaches have suits on and you see the picture with him in coaching gear. Like, and I saw that this morning. So before I saw, you know, the picture that's been floating around, and Derek Peterson had a good one and tweeted it out. I saw Coach walking around, Harbaugh walking around in the hallway, and I'm like, is he going to coach a game or is he going to the podium? So he's still doing some of that quirky stuff. But TJ, to your point about kind of some of the coverage around him, I honestly feel like people are not tired of him, when you look and see them standing around him, because there's all sorts of pictures out there. And I took one and put it out about him, you know, where's Waldo with Jim Harbaugh in there. But I think that the wackiness and us seeking that out has kind of died down a little bit. I think people are getting more to the football question. Like, I think a lot of the people surrounding him are more about, hey, you know, all the fanfare, the trip to Rome, all of this stuff, and you guys really haven't won much of anything. So when is that going to start? I think that those questions are starting to come a little bit more for him.
Greg, we'll get you out of here on this. Greg Smith, HaleVarsity.com magazine at Greg Smith HV. Find and follow him on Twitter, all over recruiting. Stanley Morgan Jr., Antonio Reed, give us an update from what you were able to hear from Coach Riley. You're there. You're a couple feet from Riley as he's explaining things. What's up?
Yeah, Coach basically said on that one that no decisions have been made, that he's been pleased with the progress that they've made and whatever it is they've been doing after, you know, the incident down in Florida. So it, to me, that, you know, it reads as, I don't know that we're necessarily going to see, you know, a game suspension, definitely not a multi-game suspension. That would completely stun me. I wouldn't be shocked if we kind of don't see an internal punishment come out on this one. At most, you know, one game that opener, but also I would lean more towards you don't see much of any punishment on this one that goes public.
You know, and this isn't fair to ask you, but you might know from a university or a student code of conduct type thing, could that have the jurisdiction opposed to the athletic department, or could it be joint?
You know, I don't know 100% for sure, but since it didn't happen on campus, I wonder if the student code of conduct and all of that doesn't
apply.
You know, come into play on that one. Yeah, because, you know, when you have stuff like that go down in the dorm, for example, you do get into some trouble with that, and things that the university may or may not want to do to you. So I would think that maybe not, considering it did not happen on campus.
Good stuff. Greg, where are we going to, not we, but where are you guys going to eat tonight? 30 seconds.
We have not decided yet. I'm going to maybe push for steak, though. But we did Giordano's their pizza last night.
See, Vogues was not going to take no to the pizza. You know, he just, you know, first night there, it's pizza night.
You got to. Chicago, deep.
No, I know. Giordano's is incredible. And the pictures sent back were taunting, you clowns.
Oh, I'll send you one. I didn't even put it on Twitter. I will text it to you right after.
That's so kind of you. there we go. Greg Smith crushing it along with Hale Varsity in Chicago, Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, and Derek Peterson. Find and follow all of them, and be sure to check out HaleVarsity.com for the latest from Chicago. Greg, we'll catch up with you when you get back, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me as always, man.
Appreciate it. Awesome stuff. Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Gonna row the boat. Not sink the ship. We're gonna row the boat. Our old buddy Doug Duda, ESPN Superstation, has words, friendly words, with PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck next. Chris Weber after that. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Weber shortly, PJ Fleck in a moment as he caught up with Doug Duda. The time is now to go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds. They're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What does that mean to you? Well, all the characteristics and beauty of earth-mined diamonds, but they're 10 to 40% less than those earth-mined diamonds. See why they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history, birthday, anniversary, or just a straight-up I-love-you move. Right here, if you go check out Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Rod West in Grand Island. Can log on today, SauterHeyman.com. P.J. Fleck got it cranked up this morning on the Big Ten Network, made the tour, caught up with Doug Duda, and here is Mr. Fleck and his goofs, as he is a ball of fire.
It's an honor to be here, guys. I really appreciate the time.
Let me ask you, because of the energetic, energy. I want to start there. Is that something you have to generate? Has that something you've always had? Where did you learn to be as energetic as you are and to take that to the coaches that you coach with and the players that you coach?
I think even back in my elementary school, energy multiplies, you know, and everybody likes to be around optimistic people. Except pessimists, right? They don't like it very much. So I think that's maybe why some people, have their such high opinions of me at different times, because I am different. I think I've realized that, but I don't try to be anybody else that I'm not. All I want to do is make anybody else who comes in contact with me, no matter who they are, better, and leave them better than before they met me. And I think that's just a commitment you have, whether that's through your faith or whether that's through what you've learned. That's why I got into education and elementary education and taught sixth grade social studies. Was because I wanted to make a difference. And you have to have energy to do that. And now you have to have a lot of energy to be able to do it to not only just the University of Minnesota, the football team, but, you know, our Twin Cities and the whole state. And that's just something I've always had. I've always enjoyed having the energy I do.
You know, I'm an educator. I'm a head high school football coach. I teach high school social studies.
Great.
And I'm an energy guy. Like, I believe in it deeply. But wouldn't you agree that P.J. Fleck isn't just energy? I think sometimes people get caught up in this deal of he's a high-energy guy. And I mean, you know what you're doing, right? And it's not just this energy piece.
It's directed energy is how I like to say it. And I have such a joy for life. You know, happiness and joy are two different things. Happy people go up and down, up and down, up and down. It's a roller coaster ride their entire life. Joyful people have a perspective because of their failing, because of their tragedy, because of their successes. They've learned from everything. And they have this very unique perspective of life, that no matter what happens to you, it's a positive learning experience. And I want our players to understand that, because life, everybody thinks this, that life and even the season's going to be all these roses and wins and successes. That is not life. There are some of the worst times in your life that turn out to be the best time in your life later on, but why don't you look at that way now? And that's what you do everything you can to educate young people in that, because of what we've all done as adults. And that's why you have the energy you have. I don't have to be anybody else, guys. What I love about the job I have, and Western Michigan and Kathy Beauregard, our athletic director there, which I have a ton to thank her, but also Mark Coyle now at the University of Minnesota and President Killers, they allow me to be me. I don't have to be anybody else but myself. It might seem odd and different and try hard and blow hard to all these other people, but to me, it's just myself, and that's okay.
So to that point, just real quick, I want to follow up. I believe deeply in there's opportunity in every crisis. Like, I mean, I believe in that.
Absolutely.
So tell us, Minnesota just went through somewhat of a crisis. Tell us about the opportunity in that crisis. Ended up being P.J. Fleck. What is it about Minnesota right now? Tell us about Minnesota's program and how the opportunity to that crisis ended up being here, and where's that going to go?
Yeah, well, the situation that happened prior there had nothing necessarily to do with me, and that wasn't necessarily one of the reasons why you take the job. But the big thing for me is that we haven't won a championship in 50 years. That fits my entire life. I've always been the king of the twos. T-O-O. Too small, too short, too inexperienced, too slow. It's always been my entire life, so this isn't something new to me. I think Minnesota's a sleeping giant. I think we we have a lot of work to do in terms of culture, which is I define as connecting people, in terms of making sure people truly look at Minnesota as a national brand. But we got a lot of work to do for that. That's why we have the reality show coming out and all these things to be able to bring national exposure to Minnesota. And at the end of the day, that's my job. There's 18 Fortune 500 companies within a 5-mile radius. So when you start talking about the future of these student athletes, that's what it's about. It's about the people first. We have a brand new Athletes Village being built, which is about $166 million facility that will end here in December, January, which we're very excited to move into. The commitment, the buy-in from that, one of the top public institutions in the country, the number one public APR in the country. We just had our highest GPA ever in the history of the football program, our first semester there. So there's so much opportunity. We've had so much tradition at Minnesota. That's one reason why you take the job. I mean, you talk about the national championships and the Big Ten championships. There's so many of those, but there's been a 50-year drought. Well, we want to be that bridge that connects that, and to make all of the alum and to make people in the city, the Twin City area, really explode for Gopher Maroon and Gold. And that's what we want to be able to have happen. It's not easy, and for every reason why. The Twins are in town. The Wild are in town. The Timberwolves are in town. The Vikings are in town. The Lynx are in town. I love that. I mean, our student-athletes have an opportunity to go to a Monday night football game and walk a mile and a half across a walking bridge to go watch the Vikings play Monday night football. That is special. So if we can all come together and we can all find a way to have success, think about what it can become. That's what we want to be able to see.
Well, it's off to a good start already. I mean, you were left some good pieces and some good athletes. PJ Fleck, Minnesota head football coach, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What did you find from a X and O player standpoint when you took over this program?
Well, I think we have some phenomenal football players. I mean, we brought three of them today. I mean, Rodney Smith, I think, is one of the best running backs in the country, hands down. I don't think there's much of an argument from anybody who would disagree with that. Steven Richardson is one of the best defensive tackles, like you already talked about. I mean, the biggest challenge for him is finding him a suit that actually fit, because not many people have that wide of shoulders,
no.
That skinny of a waist.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but he is a force to be reckoned with inside. I remember recruiting him when I was at Western Michigan University. I remember him going through that process together. And then John Celestine, and you talk about a guy who's played a ton of football, made a ton of tackles, incredible reputation. You talk about a young man who can respond from adversity, just lost his father about a month and a half ago, and to watch him go through that and help him through that process has been amazing, to watch the inner workings of that young man. So we've got three guys that are here. The one thing I think we do have a challenge at into the future, where the 18 and 19 classes are really going to help us, is our depth. You know, we might have five or six really, really talented players on offense and maybe five or six really, really talented players on defense. But to win a championship, you need 22 exceptional people and players on offense and 22 others on defense. And that's how we got to winning championship at Western Michigan University and taking a 1-11 Bronco team 4 years ago to the Cotton Bowl in 4 years.
Great stuff. PJ Fleck joining us here on the Doug and Danny Show. Larry?
Yeah, when we talk about this team, I think the biggest thing that I see is, I mean, this is going to be a really good defense. This running back's legit. You got to, who's going to play quarterback?
We took that long to get to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big
everybody's delaying. This must be like the softball questions until you get to the quarterback.
Right, like tell us, you know, what does Minnesota have in store there?
Well, it's interesting. I just took an article. I love listening to other coaches, and I was watching ACC media day, and Jimbo Fisher had a quote on there. He said, if your quarterback's not tough, you're not a tough football team. And I sent it to all of our quarterbacks. I said, now, you know, because we haven't picked a quarterback yet. And it's not like we have the files, you know, to go back to say, wow, this guy played great in this game, in this game, in this game. We don't even have that. Our quarterbacks don't have much experience at all. And so I'm waiting for somebody to grab the team by the horns and say, this is my job. And I've yet to see that. I'm getting closer, and I want to name it faster than you two would even know. I want it done yesterday, but I also want to make sure I'm sure that this is the guy, because I really haven't done the two quarterback thing. I don't like it. I'm not saying we would never get to it, but I like investing into a quarterback, and you know, I just want somebody to be able to say, this is my job, and I haven't felt that yet.
Last minute with PJ Fleck, Minnesota coach. Obviously, being in this part of the country, you know what the Big Ten's about. But as you take care of your team, how much do you have to learn about the teams that are in the conference and what you're going to be facing this year?
You know, the great thing about playing in the Mid-American Conference is you play a lot of Big Ten schools. I mean, we played Iowa. I think I lost to 70 against Kirk Ferentz my first year. I think it was about 70. It was something like that. It was bad. And, you know, played against Pat Fitzgerald Northwestern and Lovie Smith at Illinois and, you know, Michigan State. So you're playing pretty much almost half of the Big Ten. So you're familiar with them. You're familiar with their coaches because there's not a lot of turnover at the schools that we played for the most part. There's a lot of cultural sustainability in this league. But every year presents its new challenges. You know, this year for us has nothing to do with a 9-4 season from last year. We have one of the most, at least, experienced teams in the country with only 43 lettermen coming back. So when you start to look at, we might have some players, but it's that depth that we have to look at. We can't worry about anybody else. We got to worry about ourselves and just make ourselves better every day.
Coach, I know you got a lot to do. We sure appreciate you joining us on the Doug and
Daddy
Show.
I really appreciate your guys' time. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll see if you're saying that same thing tomorrow after about 50 interviews here.
Guys, I can handle it. I promise. It'll be fun.
PJ, good luck. We'll see you later in the season.
You got it, guys. Row the boat, Sky Mile. Thank you.
There you go. It is Minnesota football, and it was great to talk to Coach PJ Fleck. Appreciate Paul and the gang here at Minnesota for doing a great job of hooking us up with some of the guys.
There he is, Doug Duda, PJ Fleck, and thanks to Doug for sharing that with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. PJ Fleck, you got to row the boat in. Got the go
green,
got the go green, got the go bucks, you got the row the boat. And he's just,
you got Ferentz.
Oh. And then you got Kirk, your captain.
Oh.
I'm not gonna do that again. I don't want tears.
That's fine.
My chest hurt after that.
No, just sign me up for PJ Fleck, man. All that positive energy, just coming in contact with everybody, making him a
questions.
Better person.
Oh, a, would it. You buy a car from him? B, is he at Minnesota in 3 years?
I feel like it's gonna take longer than 3 years to get that place.
He's walking into 9-4.
Yeah,
and he went 1-13, didn't he, or 1-12 his first year at Western.
Mm-hmm.
8-5, 8-5, 13-1.
I would bet the over. I would say 4 or 5 years he'd be
okay.
There. What about you?
I think if he hits it off and say they're in a Big Ten championship game in a year, he's out because someone's going to come poach him. Minnesota is a place that has been a mess. And somehow, twice in their existence, post those national championships and then the 50-year drought, they have found two amazing coaches in Glenn Mason and Jerry Kill. And the guy that replaced him, Dilly Bar, wasn't awful, but the culture was there. So they've made coaching changes, and they are extremely fortunate to get Fleck. I think he's off to SEC country in 2 to 3 years. All right, Chris Weber on the way.
And now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Working our way through a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Just heard from PJ Fleck. The other pride of Elkhorn, along with Spencer Long and Jay Moore. Nebraska linebacker, and he is extremely talented. Chris Weber caught up with our dear friend and affiliate Doug Duda.
Linebacker Chris Weber has taken some time to sit down with us here and begin the run through the car wash here. Chris, thanks for the time on the show. Great to have you on the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, football is right around the corner, but football never takes time off. Tell me how much actual time off you or your group, your team, has had since spring ball was over?
Well, we get a couple weeks off in May to go back home and enjoy some time with our families, and then we hit the ground running, I think, June 1st for summer workouts.
Explain to the fans that are just a general fan, when you say summer workouts, lifting weights, that's what they're thinking. What does a true summer workout entail?
Well, you're going to have, like you said, some sort of weightlifting. Some sort of running, whether it's agility work or conditioning each day. And then we try to do some 7-on-7 once a week, just as, you know, the back end of a defense and the skill guys. So
looks like you're going to move into the starting role here. How has that preparation been different for you this summer as we're now getting ready to approach camp?
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to do everything possible to get your body prepared, get your mind ready to play the best season possible that you can play.
Chris Weber's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What can you tell the fans out there about the injury to Chris Jones and how he's doing?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, it's just sad to see Chris have an injury. You know, at this point in time, he's worked so hard. But a guy like Chris, you know, it's not going to keep him down for a while. He's going to do everything he can to get back as fast as he can. And, you know, we'll miss him, but we're going to have some guys step up and fill his role until he's able to come back.
Probably a little too soon to start figuring out who, but that'll happen and sort itself out in practice enough, or have you guys already been given a little insight into that?
No, well, yeah, we have fall camp to sort all that sort of thing out. You know, we'll have some competition, you know, like we always do, and figure out who will take his spot.
Chris, how has it been different? You know, we talk about preparing for the season in a supportive role, now preparing in for the season as a leader. How's it also been different in the 3-4? You play an inside linebacker in the old forefront, and now you're moving to an odd front. How's that been different for you?
Yeah, the biggest thing for us is as linebackers, we'll be playing against uncovered guards. You know, so you're going to have to be able to use your hands, get off blocks, be a little bit bigger to kind of use hand-to-hand combat to get off blocks and be able to make plays. And then just for us, you know, it's a new defense, so it's not something that we've necessarily ran in a game. So just spending time in the film room, in the meeting room, just continuing to get more comfortable with it leading into the season.
Nebraska linebacker Chris Weber with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Larry Baker. You even if things were not working well, you would not say, "Oh my God, we still got so much work to do learning this defense." How is it coming along for you?
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, the great part about it, we laid the foundation during the spring. You know, we got a lot of stuff installed that we can continue to use these next 5 weeks of fall camp for to grow on and be ready to go for the season opener.
How has your, moving just across a little bit, as you've prepared here through spring ball and anything you've done in the summer, how has the offensive line come together? That's something that your eye would see as an inside linebacker. Right. You're watching them develop every play. How have they done, and are they coming together?
Yeah, I think they've been doing a great job. Coach Cav always does a good job getting those guys ready to go, you know, staying on them. I think we're going to have some great depth with some younger guys coming in. That can, you know, push some competition, and, you know, I think it'll be good for us.
Chris Weber's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking a little Husker football. Can't get here soon enough for everybody in the state. September 2nd against Arkansas State. What does it mean to you being a Nebraska kid playing for the Huskers and getting your shot?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a dream come true. I think every kid that grows up in Nebraska wants to play for the Huskers. At least that's how I felt, you know, growing up, going to games. You know, I've just been extremely blessed to be a part of this and be where I'm at right now.
When did you realize, okay, this I'm realizing my dream right now? Okay, high school, recruited, signed, letter of intent day, going through redshirt freshman and all that. When did you first say, I've realized what I wanted to realize here as far as playing for Big Red?
You know, just for me, the biggest thing was the tunnel walk. You know, that's something I think you're walking out and it takes your breath away. It's something that we as players look forward to each chance we get to do it. That was kind of my aha moment where I was like, holy smokes, there's 90,000 people out there, and this is something I've always wanted to be a part of.
What was it like playing for Coach Wortman, going back to your high school? I mean, legendary guy. I've known a lot of guys that play there. One of my closest friends, Mark McLaughlin, he's the head football coach at Gibbon High School. He played for Coach Wortman years ago. Talk a little bit about what it was like to play for that guy and how it prepared you to go on and do what you're doing today.
Yeah, Coach Wortman runs a great program at Elkhorn. And just being able to play for a guy like him, the way he teaches, the way he coaches, I mean, just to be able to learn from him. I mean, we've seen how he's been able to have such success pushing guys, you know, to the next level. You know, I don't think I would be at where I'm at without his coaching.
Well, as good a football player as you are, everything that goes around with being a student athlete, you've excelled at. Distinguished scholar, Behringer team, all those kind of volunteer, the time that you put in. There isn't a whole lot of free time during the season football, school, and all the things that you're doing. How do you balance that, and where does your enjoyment come from all of those things?
Yeah, I think you just prioritize your time. That's been my biggest thing. If stuff's important to you, you'll find time to get it done. And so that's something I've learned since I've been here, is just how to balance my time and budget it wisely. And it's just been it's been fun. I've enjoyed the things such as the life skills, you know, giving back to our community and stuff like that.
Give us a story. Give us a story of all the volunteer work you do that just sticks out in your head that, hey, I showed up and I didn't expect this to happen that day.
There's probably three or four of us one time that went and visited a guy at Madonna who had just had a stroke. And he couldn't really speak at all. And we were just in there visiting with his family, and he sees us coming down the hallway, and I think he just started crying. And that's when you realize how big of an impact you can have, you know, on people in our community.
I just have to say, Doug, it's great to have somebody sit in front of us with a red shirt and a white end. You know, we've been here all day, and hey, we're doing, like, we love the Big Ten, and this is great, but kind of feels at home without question. And Chris, I just have to say that it's refreshing. The colors are, but it's refreshing the person that you are and how you represent our state and our university. You do it the right way, and it's just wonderful.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Did we talk a lot of football? We talked a lot of things here with Chris Weber, who is getting ready for what should be a big season here with the Huskers. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing you and the team as far as looking ahead and getting ready for this season. And I'm approaching that by the pundits and all the so-called experts saying everybody's chasing Wisconsin, but there's a lot of teams trying to chase Wisconsin. You pay attention to that kind of stuff? Or are you a person that gets in and reads all these kind of things and listens? Or do you say, we're going to show up at practice?
No, I just put my head down. I try not to pay too much attention to any of that because right now it doesn't have any bearing on our season and what we can do. So I think just as a team, we've just been focusing on putting our head down, going to work, and that's what we're going to do during fall camp as well.
Doug Duda caught up with Chris Weber. Chris Weber, he's getting ready to grind. Thanks to our friends at ESPN 1460, 1550, Doug and Daddy, Doug Duda, Aaron Williams, Chris Weber, PJ Fleck, Mitch Sherman. Greg Smith in Chicago will wind out a Tuesday with Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery?
Yes! That's awesome!
Quick show today. Lots of comments from Coach Riley, Aaron Williams, Chris Weber, PJ Fleck, Mitch Sherman, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. Big thanks to Doug Duda today. 7 out of 10, that's too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. They've been using their seatbelts at a minimum. 69 alive today. Save more lives. Buckle up. And law enforcement agencies across the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations this month. Reminder to you to click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. So Coach Riley had several different sessions today with the media. Started things off at 9 this morning. And question asked to him this afternoon, you know, is this finally going to be what a Mike Riley team looks like? You've got your offensive side, but now the defensive side has shifted, and Riley's commented numerous times that he was a 3-4 guy originally.
Well, I'm excited about the growth of all of the parts of a program through time. I realized a long time ago that one of our most effective things in a program is simply time. Time in the program to establish the football that you want to establish. Time in the program to learn the players and how to utilize the players the best. That is what coaching is. You know, we see some guys like DeMorne Pearsonell, like Stanley Morgan, and it is very, very important for us to be very thoughtful about how to utilize them and get them the ball. And what we have done well in our past in coaching is making sure Brandon Cooks gets the football. And so when we go into a year and Brandon Cooks catches 128 passes, that's smart, you know, that we get him the football. Simply get him the ball and let him go. And so that part of it feels good. And then culturally, what you want in the program, and that is personal. You know, that is a part that the way I want this thing to look has to be nurtured daily. You know, what this team looks like, how they perform, how they live their daily lives. I think that we want to represent the University of Nebraska and the state of Nebraska at the highest level. And that is a work in progress always. So the formation of a program, the formation of what we do in football is always an ongoing process. And time is the most important ally that you have in that, in building all that.
Got to water the plants, so to speak, and let it grow. A last thought from Riley on Stanley Morgan Jr., Antonio Reed, and doesn't have much of an update. They're still trying to figure it out.
It is being reviewed by our university at this time. So, you know, there may be twofold. There may be two thoughts there as we go forward.
So when he knows, he'll let us know. Busy one today. Big thanks again to Doug Duda. And getting caught up, Aaron Williams and Chris Weber, P.J. Fleck and Mitch Sherman, Greg Smith from Chicago. Employee to check out, HaleVarsity.com. Great coverage in Chicago of Media Days, all thing Nebraska on the second day and final day of Big Ten Media Days. So much Husker stuff you won't want to miss out, and read it with HaleVarsity.com. Check out the premium stuff. Can log on HaleVarsity.com/subscribe and 30-day free trial offer. Get signed up. You'll love it. Great recruiting coverage as well. Tomorrow, Mr. Blackshirt Jay Moore will join us. It's a Wilderness Ridge Golf Wednesday. And our dear friend Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day, will be with us. Thanks to TJ Henning. I'm Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good one.